Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of The Run Dot Down. I'm your host, Shwini Poo, and I'm here with Tyrese, that is at London's Theory on Twitter. We are here to celebrate the Knicks handling their business against the Detroit Pistons, and more importantly, maybe most importantly, Dante DiVincenzo knocking one of Evan Fournier's two records out tonight, single season or single game, three-point makes, Dante hitting 11 tonight, despite Evan Fournier playing like, the fucking spirit of...
He thought it was game OG 7 of the NBA Finals and started face guarding him. That was the most loser shit I've ever seen somebody do. Hey, where was his energy for 2.5 years in New York? But somehow, some way, you found it against Dante DiVincenzo hitting threes on a random night in March.
While you're playing for the worst team in basketball. Congratulations.
What a loser.
It was really big loser shit. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about a lot of other things. But before we do that, I have to make a few announcements. We've got a great new sponsor. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything sports games. Who's fast? That's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. If you had bet on the Knicks to cover the spread, you would be sitting very happy tonight. If you bet on Josh Hart to get a triple-double, you would be even happier. Use our promo code BELIEVENICKS, BLEAVNICKS, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code, BELIEVENICKS, BLEAVNICKS. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. Also, thank you to our sponsor, BetOnline. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there in odds, lines, and info in every game and every round. Right up until the national championship, you can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to the BetOnline app today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome deposit bonus or welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right. So the Knicks pretty easily dispatched of the Pistons. They were clearly assist hunting at various points in this game. They were very obviously spent the last fucking 12 minutes of game time trying to get Dante his single game 3-point record. The Pistons had, they were out what? Cade, Grimes, fucking
Taj,
Duren, Fontecchio. Like they were out basically three starters.
Asar.
Like it's, this is a game the Knicks absolutely should have won in exactly the way they won it. They took care of business. I know that everybody's freaking out that everybody still played a lot of minutes. I would say that these were some of the lightest 40 minutes that any of these guys has played this season. The Knicks took care of business. And I don't really know what there is to say about this game. Aside from that, it was good to see Hart make a single three. That was nice. It was nice to see Bogdanović make a couple of threes. It was nice to see Jalen Brunson stop trying to like draw fouls when he came out in the second half and was just like, all right, I guess I'll just have to get buckets the old fashioned way. The ethical way, back to my ethical roots. And it was nice to see Dante, who's been like, I don't really think it's a slump. I just think it's like the volatility of shooting, but it was nice to see him obviously have the type of shooting game that he had today. And he had 40 points, right? So that's a career high for him. I don't know. There's really not much more to say, but I think the main thing if I were to take anything away from this game and just kind of like how the last few days have unfolded for the Knicks, at some point you just got to I think it's valid to say that they are a team that optimizes players, and the evidence continues to mount. And Dante, Deuce, those two are just the latest to kind of exemplify it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a very real argument that can be made that the Knicks have the best pro scouting in the league right now. They've just been able to identify players who are in the prime of their career or looking to be in the prime of their career. And they've made them look like legitimately high-end role players. And this goes back to the Wii here year, where like they got career years out of Alec Burks and
Bullock.
Reggie Bullock and Nerlens Noel, and somehow revitalized Derrick Rose. And then
honestly, they even got a shit ton out of Taj that year.
Yeah, Taj that year was legitimately like his win shares were like mid, like low-end 100s, which is like that's high-end role player shit. And Taj Gibson was like 33 at the time. It made no sense for somehow that guy to be like a legitimate rotation player with all the minutes he's played and his age at the time. He was actually like legitimately good that season. But yeah, like this just shows that the Knicks, they're competent. They know what they're doing. And that's something that we haven't been able to say about the Knicks in a very long time. But the fact that it rained true and the fact that you're seeing it with especially their talent acquisition is nothing short of incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of the season, Taj's fucking win shares, he had 4 win shares and his win shares per 48 was 1.95. He was an advanced stats demon that year. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was really incredible what they got. Jordan Bubb posted this. Jalen passed the ball more. He could have had 15. DiVincenzo jokes in his post-game interview. Yeah, I mean, Jalen, just selfish player.
He would have had 15 if Evan Fournier wasn't face guarding him, dude. Like, oh my God. He actually would have broken the record tonight. I'm actually kind of pissed.
It was ridiculous watching that. Yeah, this is to echo your kind of sentiments here. Chris Bernard. Imagine getting an elite 3-point shooter for $11 million. It's amazing how 3 of the Knicks of the best Knicks free agent signings of all time happened within the past 2 years. This is as free and easy of a win the Knicks have had all year. Well, besides when they play Cleveland. It's Brunson, Isaiah Hartenstein, DiVincenzo. Like as far as I'm concerned, they're the best Knicks free agent signings since like I don't fucking Julius. Know Allen Houston or something. Yeah, I guess Julius, but Julius is always a weird one because it's like it almost feels like they.
Cheated.
It just feels like they got really lucky with that one.
I mean,
but he still
counts.
Yeah, he counts. It's true. But yeah, I mean, that's sometimes you need luck, right? And so 4 of the Knicks' best free agent signings in their history have happened within the last 5 years. Shout out to the assist from Steve Mills. But like
Steve Mills, better executive than Sean Marks. We could say that now.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, it's amazing how much. Where they've like how much better they've gotten at this. And yeah, I mean, if you want to say, well, they got lucky because Jalen Brunson and he's, you know, Leon Rose's godson and DiVincenzo's his best buddy. And it's like, yeah, well, that's the fucking point, right? Using connections to sign good players. And they've done that. So kudos to them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say like, you're getting mad at the Knicks for using their connections to sign people to 360 deals. Like, isn't that what stars are supposed to do? Supposed to get guys who are valuable players to take pay cuts and to sign for less money compared to other teams that could pay them more in order to compete and to win?
I don't know. I mean, I thought the point of stars is to get your buddies, washed up buddies, a 4-year, $40 million contract.
Exactly. Like, Kevin Durant can get DeAndre Jordan paid and Jalen Brunson gets Dante DiVincenzo paid. So who's really the king of New York?
He actually gets Dante DiVincenzo to take $4 million less than the mid-level, which gave them the necessary breathing space under the hard cap that they needed.
He was like, Dante DiVincenzo somehow, some way gave his 26 to 30 seasons to the Knicks being significantly underpaid. Like if he hit the open market this season, you're probably looking at like Duncan Robinson money. Like easily. And the fact he's gonna get 2/3 of that for the life of this contract is, again, the Knicks probably have 3 of the 5 best contracts in the league. Honestly, you could argue 4 of the best 10. So, great base to build from.
Can I read you this Monty Williams quote after the game?
Sure.
Monty Williams didn't want to, this is from Bondi, by the way. Monty Williams didn't want to talk about Dante DiVincenzo. I don't care about their team. I couldn't care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part of that story. What the fuck is he talking about, man?
Oh my god, dude. Jesus, I think we might have broke him. I think we might have broke him. Yeah, that's sad.
It's really funny.
Oh my, like, are you kidding me, man? Like, I'm sorry you're running out of G League team, but come on.
That's just like, I don't even know what to say. That's just like crazy.
To like blow a gasket against the Knicks of all teams.
Yeah. Maybe he's just mad that he rightfully lost to Coach of the Year to Tibbs in 2021. Who can say? Ace Bouchard, I didn't expect this from DiVincenzo, but it was always extremely strange how much higher I was in the signing than what seemed to be the average fan. Yeah, I mean, I think I know I tweeted this at the time, but like, I think everybody's concern was like, well, we're so small. And like, yeah, I mean, obviously before the trades, size overall on the roster was an issue. And Dante, you know, he crowded an already crowded backcourt. I understood all those concerns, but like, you can't watch the playoffs last year and everybody was rightfully like, oh my God, we need to get more shooting. We need to get more consistent shooting, blah, blah, blah. And then get mad that the Knicks signed a fucking sniper for what they did. And, you know, was it a perfect signing at the time? No, but you add good players. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good, or better, or whatever however you want to phrase it. And they didn't. And now, obviously, after they make the OG trade, who maybe he will play basketball again? Who can say for sure? But like, this is why you make that move. And he's obviously just been absolutely worth the money. Sorry. Here you go. Jalen Brunson's last three games, 23 assists, one turnover. So even though he hasn't shot the ball well necessarily, though he did close the second half. The second half he was a lot better, but. He's definitely taking care of the ball at a high level right now, and he always does. So, good for us.
The thing, like, the barometer for Jalen Brunson not shooting well is like so high. Like, he had a great game tonight, obviously, finished 50-43-100, which is like, oh, I feel like he left some stuff on the table. And then, like, even the Denver game, he was a little bit under 500. Or a little bit under 50%. Like, he shot the ball fine. Maybe not from three, but he was fine overall that game. It was just a stinker against the Nets. But, I mean, I think he shot fine. But the fact that he hasn't been turning the ball over, despite the fact that, like, he's had a lot of traffic his way, it just... He's just incredible, man. What more can you say about him? Just... He woke up, he, like, rubbed his eyes, and he just slept, walked to 28. So...
Yeah. Yeah, he was... I mean, I thought, like, the Knicks kind of dicked around at the end of the first half. They were, like, just hunting threes, overpassing, kind of, like, lazing about on defense. And he was, like, he was getting, like, you know, really focused on, like, oh, my God, they're not calling these fouls. And the way he started the second half, just kind of, like, you knew the game was over the way he started the second half, that there was no chance they were going to let this Pistons team get back into the game, and they didn't. So, yeah, I mean, like, ultimately – this is not like some clutch performance from Brunson, but he ended the game as a competitive spectacle very early in that second half, and that's what it was. Jordan Bubb posted this, and they mentioned this on broadcast. The Knicks are 38-3. That's a 92.7 win percentage this season when leading by 10 or more points in a game. They also have the most wire-to-wire victories in the league this year. So, you know, this team is like, to borrow a football analogy, like, there are teams that are dominant when they are allowed to stick to their game script. This is like the Knicks are that when they are in, when the game goes exactly as Tibbs has kind of like pre-planned it, when it goes according to plan, they are basically a undefeatable team almost. Like, they're really, really good at just taking care of business. And, that speaks to the quality of their talent, but also like how focused guys are and how prepared they are, which is obviously a testament to Tibbs and the coaching staff. So, yeah, kudos to everybody on that kind of record. Lucky Ducky, can we trade Hart to the Warriors for a season and then get him back?
No, after he worked with JJ Redick, he'd be shooting like 45% from three. Trust.
Dude, he just...
He made one today. He made one.
I will say, you know, with JJ Record's track record of helping Knicks with their shooting, who can doubt his credentials? The good news for us is that his shooting cannot actually get worse. So, like, we'll see what JJ Redick gets done with him. Hopefully it's better than whatever the fuck he did with Grimes this summer. Neo Schmidt, give me more Villanova guys.
Kyle Lowry's coming.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges, that ship
no,
is
no.
That ship is
I do not want Mikal Bridges on this team, man. I'm sorry. Like, we gotta stop with the Mikal Bridges shit. Like, can we just admit that Dante DiVincenzo has been better this year? And you can say, oh, well, he's being miscast as the first option. That's fine. But the fact that he's not even the first option anymore is Cam fucking Thomas. And the fact that, despite the fact, this guy is a 3-and-D wing. He doesn't play defense. His three ball has been mediocre. Granted, his looks are tougher, but he wasn't that good of a shooter even when he was like a role player, and he didn't really take them much at volume. I think when you have to consider the fact that you're playing with Julius Randle, and I think that's a big thing, Dante DiVincenzo just fits so well next to Julius Randle and what the Knicks want to do with their offense. He just takes the threes that a lot of people won't take, and he takes them at a volume that a lot of people won't reach. It's going to be hard to go from Dante DiVincenzo, who's willing to put up 23s in a game if you let him, who literally did that tonight, to Mikal Bridges, who, like, maybe at a high end will take 8-9, and that was before... that's what a star diet. When he's like on a role player diet, he's not taking threes like that. He's doing more stuff in the mid range. He's doing more stuff as a post scorer, and it's just not something that really vibes with what the Knicks want.
Are the Suns fucking serious, by the way?
No, they're not.
What the fuck is this? They lost to the Spurs and put up 102 points when Victor Wembanyama was not fucking playing. Are you kidding me? What the fuck are you guys doing?
Look, as long as the Knicks don't embarrass themselves in front of me Friday night, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Knicks at least would have some excuses because they're literally now three starters.
How the fuck did Jeremy Sochan have 26 and 18?
They're saying Jeremy Sochan beat the Slim Reaper at dad. Is that what I'm hearing?
Bro, this team sucks. I'm sorry. Does anybody legitimately buy the Suns as a contender? Like, I just have to get
Oh,
this.
Yeah. No. Somebody does. I actually had a very lengthy debate with that person on Saturday on Twitter. His name, you may be familiar with his game. His name is Billy Reinhart. The Suns are a true contender, but the Knicks are not. Because the Suns
are starting Yusuf Nurkic. And you want to tell me they're a contender?
The Suns starting Bradley Beal.
I'm sorry, bro. Grayson Allen is your starting small forward.
Though he has actually been like balling for them.
He has been, but like Grayson Allen is your point of attack defender.
Yeah.
Say that out loud and tell yourself you're a contender, and I swear the universe will sucker punch you. Like, you cannot tell me that this team is serious, man. Royce O'Neal and Bol Bol are not taking you to the finals.
And I want to read this because I thought it was a really good piece that Jeff wrote up, kind of inspired by the game on Saturday against the Nets. This is from Jeff, our good pal, who's on here quite often. So as I watched Dante DiVincenzo, another laughably valuable contract doled out by Rose, tear up the Nets in a fourth quarter that saw them go from tied to down 18, I couldn't help but feel a sense of gratitude for what Rose and company have built in New York. Not because they landed a single superstar who will likely get some MVP votes this season, they did, but because he didn't try to skip any steps. He built the hard way, the right way, the New York way. And like, again, just all these guys, they're just getting so much value out of them, and they've completely, I mean, we talked about the free agent signings, but even like, dude, getting Josh Hart for what they paid was awesome. You know, a fucking late first, and Cam Reddish and a bunch of crap. Like, it was a fucking home run trade for them. And that's even with Josh Hart basically scoring at like poop levels of efficiency for a perimeter player in the NBA in 2024. Like, he's just giving you so much more value than what that it makes up for how bad his scoring has been this season. So just shout out to the entire front office for the job they've done. And honestly, the coaching staff who's taken these pieces and maximizing them. Ace Bouchard, Evan Fournier was playing against the Knicks like he used to against the Celtics. He only comes prepared for revenge games. not in terms of stats. Yeah, he played super hard today. It was very, very funny to watch. John Leary. Also, Nick's number one target was Strus. I know he's been good, but I prefer Dante. Yeah, that was actually reported. I forgot where. But yeah, Strus was apparently their number one guy, but he got priced out because Cleveland was willing to go to what? I think they gave him 4 years, $63 million. Strus is a good player.
He's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good for Cleveland, so whatever. But like, DiVincenzo has been just a better player. So, and he's younger also. So, you know, this is like shows the kind of legwork the front office is doing, though, right? Where it's like, hey, this was our primary target. We have a walkaway number, though, and we're not going to move beyond that. And then they had a secondary target, which was DiVincenzo, obviously, and they got it done. So that's how a good front office works. You have primary plans, secondary plans, tertiary plans, and obviously these guys are fucking prepared. So
yeah, I mean, they know more than me. I thought Torian Prince was the answer. So
yeah, that was I'm strange. Sorry. That was a bad arc for you.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Sorry. It's all good. I was not enthused about getting OG Anunoby. So you got me. I got you beat there. Jordan Bubb, most triple doubles over the past 2 months. 1 DeMontis Sabonis, 11. 2 Luka Doncic, 9. 3 Nikola Jokic, 8. 4 Josh Hart with 6. Yeah. Hart's like, again, the scoring efficiency has not been what you would ideally want it to be. But if he rebounds like that and he playmakes like that, and he defends like the way he can defend, you just have to accept kind of those things. And honestly, the numbers just don't capture what he brings to the table. He brings the Knicks energy, and I think he gives them a kind of bravado and swagger they don't necessarily have without him. So what he's done for them, especially with being as shorthand as we are, basically not for 2 months running, is incredible. Lucky Ducky. Thought it was nice to see that iHeart wanted to stay in during garbage time. Seems like he's almost fully back. Yeah, and I think he specifically wanted to stay in during garbage time so that he could help DiVincenzo break that record.
Yeah, I think these guys are playing for each other's stats, and it's good to see. When a team is, like, helping their teammates stat pad, that's when you know the vibes are immaculate.
Yeah, and he's not even a Nova guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he might as I feel like everybody's just an honorary Nova guy at this point. Like, Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride would have fit in with a Jay Wright system. Hartenstein would have fit in with a Jay Wright system. Like, I feel like they're just adopting Nova guys as they come along.
Did you see Deuce's girl posted a video of them driving and she played the Tyla song?
I mean, good. The song was fire.
Yeah, but it was really funny because Deuce was like singing along and then he saw that she was recording him and he was like, he got awkward. he saw the tech video.
Dude, if LeBron sees tech videos, then everybody sees tech videos, okay?
Yeah, it was a funny video. This is really good. Jordan Bubb again. The Pistons have not beaten the Knicks since November 6, 2019. Tonight's loss makes them 0-15 versus the Knicks during the 2020s.
You know what? That's real.
That's real.
Troy Weaver might just need a statue just because he keeps giving the Knicks free wins. We might be back on statue talk.
I don't want to be a part of that story. Let me tell you that. Ace Bichard, IQ Deuce, and soon Rokas is a very solid trio of combo guards.
Rokas doesn't exist.
He exists, and he's probably going to be the greatest combo guard of all time whenever
he comes over. Yeah, like 2030 when he comes over when he's like 36.
Exactly, and Tibbs will get – he'll be the successor to Pablo Prigioni.
He'll be Edie Tavares.
Do you remember – didn't Prigioni make an all-rookie team?
Yes, he did.
Which is ridiculous.
Dude, I'm sorry. Like, there needs to be age limits on the rookie teams. Because why the hell is Pablo Prigioni on the all-rookie team? Oh, my God.
Jordan Bubb posted this again. Isaiah Hartenstein with a 25-point win. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, plus 27. Black Jokic. Dude, Hartenstein, he's definitely getting back to his best right now. He's been awesome, and he just dominated this game. He started out the game. Like, he kind of – I thought he was the one that kind of set the tone early on for the Knicks. Not that, you know, it was, like, some super challenging opponent, but he was definitely locked in to start the game, and he's just playing really, really well. And again, like, shout-out to Tibbs, who has been good about maintaining his minutes, not pushing him beyond them, and just figuring out how to run the rotation aside from that. So good stuff all around there. Steve Mills greater than Donnie Walsh. I've said this forever. I don't even think this is a debate. Donnie Walsh sucked, dude. Donnie Walsh, he telegraphed his entire plan about 3 weeks after he was hired. Spent 2 years doing absolutely nothing other than trying to clear cap space, which he did at the expense of effectively dumping Jordan Hill, who was a terrible pick in his rookie season, and then attaching a future first to move on, to move players out to clear more cap space. And then he still couldn't get LeBron or Wade or Bosh. And then his pivot was, let me give Amari Stoudemire, who literally has a fucking knee that nobody will insure, a 5-year, $100 million contract, even though the next best offer was 3-year, $60 million. So Donnie Walsh sucks. He was terrible. He's a fucking awful GM. He's a coward on top of that, because he would not move up to get Steph Curry, even though he telegraphed how desperately he wanted him. And another thing people forget is he also desperately wanted Russell Westbrook, but this fucking loser wouldn't move up in that draft either. So fuck Donnie Walsh. He sucks. And Steve Mills shits on his life.
Steve Mills made the Porzingis trade, and he signed Julius Randle, and that's all you needed to know about the franchise.
Okay. And he signed Marcus Morris.
Yeah. Steve Mills literally paved the way for the Knicks to be where they are now. Without Steve Mills and his gracious leadership, we would not be where we are today. Thank you, Steve Mills.
Well, honestly, I know we're joking, and it is kind of a joke, but like, not really. I genuinely think Steve Mills is a better GM than Donnie Walsh. But like Jeremy Cohen, you know, the man with the plan that knows all the cap minutia that none of us care to think about all the time.
Hey,
yeah, it's fine.
We got continuous soup today, bro. I'm excited.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so all this stuff though, like signing Marcus Morris, which nets you the quickly pick, which you turn into OG Anunoby and Precious. And like, this is what it is. It's like turning singles into doubles and doubles into triples and triples into home runs. And like, this front office has just found ways to do that. And look, they didn't take over some disastrous situation, but they also they took over a situation that didn't have a foundation. Like, nobody knew what the foundation was when they took over, right? And they effectively were able to like, okay, Julius Randle, I guess he's part of the fucking solution since he's randomly an all-NBA player now. And Mitchell Robinson, he's good. And like, it's taking what they were given and building it out, and they've done that. And you know, you're seeing kind of like, I mean, this might not be the culmination, but you're kind of seeing what that can do when you just keep stacking good decisions and good decisions and good decisions. You know, you can be down three starters for 2 months, 2+ months, really, given the fact that Mitch has been out too, or Mitch has been out since mid-December. But like, you can be missing all these guys, and you can be sitting here, you know, a half game out of the third seed in the Eastern Conference. So shout out to them. Chris Bernard, there's really nothing to talk about tonight, so can we dunk on the Nets for their phenomenal process? Houston was like, hey, you want a top two pick who's young and your own picks back for a role player?
Okay, first of all, don't buy the Jalen Green hype. He's still not good. But
he might be better than Mikal Bridges, though.
I mean, that's a low bar to clear. It's Mikal Bridges. Look, you guys need to stop falling for newly born fathers and March Madness in the NBA. When he's putting up stinkers in November, come back to me. I'm a hater until proven otherwise. I will say, though, that deal, I think Nets fans denying that deal was on the table for months on end, just for it to be like, oh yeah, no, the deal was on the table, just makes it look hilarious. Even more hilarious than it already was, because it's like, why would the Nets not want to tank? And the reason why the Nets don't want to tank is because they know they can't tank while the Knicks are good, because then nobody's going to give a shit about them in their own city. That's the sole reason why they're not doing it. Like, it's not about Mikal Bridges. It's not about Jalen Green. It's not about the picks. It's about the fact that the Knicks are knocking on the door of contention, if not already in contention, and they would be doing it at a time where the Nets are moribund.
But yeah, the Nets don't have a plan. I mean, it's really that simple. They don't have a plan. they haven't really had a plan since they signed Katie and Kyrie, which was like, it honestly felt like they signed them and it was like, well, we did it. Mission, it's like the, you know, the George Bush mission accomplished. Like that's what it felt like, right? Oh, we did it. Now we're done. And we just let them, we just do whatever they want. And then when that didn't work, then you also had them like kind of start throwing these guys under the bus, right? Like, oh, fucking Kyrie Irving, he's this fucking, and it's like, dude, you knew who these guys were. Okay. Like, and if you didn't, then what the fuck were you, have you been doing? Like, that's your job as a front office to understand the personalities and the players you're bringing in. And sure, like, who could have predicted COVID and for fucking the vaccine mandate and Kyrie Irving not, like, I get all that. But, like, you guys signed an unstable character and somebody who's been volatile across multiple franchises now. And you had no plan for how to actually, like, make it work. And, like I'm not here. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, my God, Dallas is so perfect and amazing. But, like, he's not really had any issues in Dallas at all, to my knowledge. Like, I don't know. And the fact that Dallas is getting that kind of buy-in from him, considering they're not exactly, you know, some model franchise, is kind of, it's kind of a black mark, man.
It really just comes down to the fact that, like, Dallas paid him and the Nets didn't want to pay him.
But the thing is, like, but that's kind of, that's even, like, because so much of the motivation, right, you assumed of, like, is like, well, do you want to pay this guy? Because if you pay this guy, is he just going to totally go off the rails again? And clearly that's not, I mean, look, it's just the first year of his, he signed a 5-year deal, right? So like, it's not the first year of it.
The 3-year deal.
Oh, that's right. It was like 3 years, 100, whatever.
Yeah, it was a 3-year max deal.
Yeah. But whatever, like they gave him that and he's been fine. You know what I mean? He's not been like a problem for them. So I don't know, man. It just, and even like Durant, like, look, say whatever you want about the guy. He basically has gone back to being a durable player since he left fucking Brooklyn. So, I don't know what the hell was going on in Brooklyn for all these years, but it's not a good look. I think that's the easiest way to put it. Tom Thibodeau said Bojan Bogdanović. This is from John Leary, by the way, posted this. Tom Thibodeau said Bojan Bogdanović got nicked up tonight. Asked what happened. Thibodeau said Bogdanović had soreness. And asked where Bogdanović was sore. Thibodeau said soreness.
He was wearing that athletic tape on the back of his neck.
Yeah, it was definitely his neck. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is they both came injured. Troy Weaver sold us damaged goods, so maybe the statue's on hold. But also that explains why they've probably been sucking shit. I need something to hang on to.
You're leaving here with something?
I'm leaving here with something. Quentin Grimes is just ass. At least our guys are hurt.
I mean, look, I gotta say, when we signed Dante, I remember, like, I was kind of resistant.
Josh Hart. Holy shit.
What?
Josh Hart on Monty Williams' comment. If he didn't be part of the story, he should have told his guys to defend better. Oh. Okay. I want to say I appreciate the fact that Josh Hart says the things that we're all thinking.
He does not give a fuck, bro.
I don't blame him, dude. Like, he's got paid. He's on the team with his best friends. I just love the fact that it gets people upset. He's ethical Draymond. He's Draymond who took Prozac. Like, he's just, you know, he'll get you the triple doubles. He'll play really good defense. He's a good energy guy, but he won't, like, fight a dude in the court. He'll maybe just get a tech. Like, again, ethical Draymond. Draymond who got a few more hugs growing up.
That's wild, dude.
Draymond who did get raised around the bad boy Pistons.
Dude, Josh Hart, good for him. Did you see? Check the tweet I sent you. And
yeah, I saw it. I don't. That is a wild nickname. Like
K Diddy.
Jesus, K Diddy.
Yeah, this is Jordan Bubb. Should we talk about Jontay Porter and gambling and sports in general, or like it the night? Or I don't. I mean, look, I just think like. The league, I don't have a problem. Honestly, I think it's like, I think people are moralizing about this a little bit too much, but like, I don't have a problem with the league leaning into gambling and taking them on board as a partner and all this stuff. But it's obvious that to me, it just seems like they've rushed into it. I think some of the stuff with like the parlays and like every fucking show now is about this shit. And I just, I think that's a bad look, because you don't want your entire following to be a bunch of fucking dudes on here that are like obsessed with, like, you don't want everybody being FBL Sam.
You know what I mean? Just about to say, you don't want a bunch of Sams watching your product.
you just see fucking random tweets like, oh God, I fucking,
bro,
I can't believe Marcus Sasser hit that jumper.
Dude, Sam tweets be like, damn, bad beat. We'll get him again next time. Like, he's been ethical about his tweets, which I appreciate. I mean,
Sam will be like, man, I can't believe Vitali Kopachenko hit that three. And I'm like, there's a dude in the NBA with that name? What the fuck are you betting on, man?
I'm gonna start like, reading off Sam tweets from his parlays and
Neo Schmidt, I believe in the power of friendship. Yeah. Look, it's the vibes are good, man. The vibes are definitely good with this team. So good for us and good for the Knicks. Well, Clyde Frazier, Booker to the Knicks. I don't think he'll move this summer, but if he was to be available this summer, I'm sure the Knicks would be very, very interested.
Yeah, they would be throwing Dante DiVincenzo like fucking that Simba meme from Lion King. They'd be like, oh, you want Dante DiVincenzo, Miles McBride? Here you go.
Long
live the king. Legitimately long live the king.
So you're saying Leon Rose is Scar?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Leon Rose is a cold-blooded capitalist. This whole friendship advice thing is real cool until Leon decides, you know what? I want a star. And then he will be the most cutthroat fucking... He'll fucking Cersei everybody.
That's wild, because that could mean so many things.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I just know
the character. Let me tell you something about Cersei's love interest on that show. Okay. Anyway.
Never mind.
She sleeps with her brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Thing.
It's like part of the main, her entire, like, the main plot of her story. So it's great. Good job. So that's what you're calling Leon Rose. Disgusting, Tyrese. I can't believe you'd say
that. I'm sorry for calling Leon Rose an incestual. My bad.
Incestual?
Well, you know what? Let's just keep going. Let's keep it moving.
In 15 losses, the Celtics have blown 8 double-digit leads. Boston is the 10th team in NBA history to blow a 30-point lead. That's from Jordan Bubb. I don't think the Knicks have ever blown a 30-point lead. They nearly did a couple years ago against the Nets, but I think it was like a 29-point lead that they blew.
Yep. So. Doesn't count. It wasn't 30.
Here we go. This is from Constantine Metricos. Thoughts on Monty Williams complaining about how Dante got the record. My thoughts on Monty are the guy's getting paid fucking $15 million a year, where the fuck it is. Like, maybe you can coach your guys to not let that happen. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. Like, dude, you can't bitch about a better team being so much better than you that they can dick around for like a quarter and a half to try and get a record. So
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. The question I'm sure all of us were worried about, John Leary, how long do we think Burke's out for? Hopefully fucking a couple weeks here. I don't know, man. The Burke's thing, it doesn't seem like it's that serious. They said he was questionable today, right?
Yeah.
So who knows?
They probably just kept him out. They'll probably keep him out just to, like, you know, make sure he's good.
Yeah. Larry Israel. Steve Mills is one of the worst execs of all time. You have to remember he brought in Isaiah. Yeah, look, his first stint, Steve Mills' first stint, was atrocious. His second stint was not good, but it was not atrocious. And he did the bare minimum stuff of, like, understanding that keeping draft picks were good. And other than the Tim Hardaway Jr. contract, seemed to understand the, maybe just don't sink my cap space into guys, like, into players for multiple seasons at times when I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So he cleared the very low bar of just like not destroying the franchise's future his second time around, which, you know, still better than Sean Marks.
Sean Marks wishes he didn't. The fact that Sean Marks destroyed the future not once but twice is something that we just need to. He wasn't there for the the Russian dude deals, right?
Sean Marks?
Yeah, he wasn't there. He came after.
I think he technically got hired by him, though, right? So
yeah, and I think he came after all that shit with the Celtics players. But anyway, he still destroyed the franchise. So
yeah,
and they got a free pass to rebuild it, and then said, "Nah, I love Mikal Bridges."
The way I always think about that is I'm like, dude, what? Like, I even if you love Mikal Bridges, right? Like, if I told you that when you trade Kevin Durant, you can get all of your picks back, and you can get all of Phoenix's picks, and you can keep these role players who have value, and you can flip them. Like, I would be like, all right, obviously that's not ideally what you want for Kevin Durant, but it's like, all right, I can deal with that. I can accept that. But he, I mean, I don't know. It's also Sean Marks, and it's also Josiah. Josiah clearly has no idea what the fuck he's doing. He's definitely an owner who seems way too hands-on with whatever the fuck the basketball operations are. But shout out to him for being in his early 2000s Dolan phase of his ownership. Maybe he'll get better at it. Who can say for sure? From Chris Bernard, we could do the whole what if story with dozens of teams in NBA history. The Nets aren't special. A lot could have been stopped if they weren't a pushover Oregon put their foot down. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep.
This Josh Hart comment is just so good, man. It's so good. I'm just going to put this comment up, but I'm not going to read it because as far as I'm concerned, Evan Fournier can go fuck himself. Fuck him. I just don't. I thought he's just a very annoying player. And I just feel like he carried himself as if like the organization and like Tom Thibodeau wronged him. And it's like, dude, we just have a lot of better players than you.
Also, you're on the Pistons right now. You're fighting to stay in the league or rather not stay in the league, but like actually get paid like a role player rather than more than just minimums. It's just, I'm sorry that you're bad. Like, it's not Tom Thibodeau's fault that you're bad.
Yeah, you suck, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, you're shooting dog shit from the field and dog shit from three. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Aside from bitch, complain, and speak French.
And ride a fucking moped to the garden.
You know, you can't do that shit in Detroit. They'll jump your ass.
John Lurie. Random thought, but it felt like Grimes wasn't that close to anyone on the team.
Because he was too busy thinking about Armani sponsorships and going to fucking Italy. He wasn't grinding and hooping like Deuce McBride does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually care about that. I'm sure he worked hard at it. I think that's not really a concern. But I don't know, you're just joking around. But like, yeah, I mentioned this before. He doesn't seem like he was very tight with anybody on the team. Even when when Quick and RJ left, it obviously those guys, not very, very, very obviously connected more with fans, but also it seemed like they were a lot closer with guys on the team. And obviously we saw that when they kind of came back to the garden versus like when Grimes got back to the garden. Yeah, he got like a nice little ovation. That was about it. And even after the game, you know, you didn't see it's just a totally different vibe. And, you know, you imagine that. Like, I mean, even a guy like Burks, obviously he's back now, but when we play the Pistons and Taj, like when we play the Wizards, when he was there, like you could feel like the appreciation from their teammates kind of like for what those guys were and how they carried themselves while they were in New York and they were their teammates. I don't know. With Grimes, it just doesn't, I don't know. It definitely doesn't feel that
way. Kevin Knox got more love.
Yeah, he did. Frank got more love.
Yeah. It just kind of feels like nobody really was rocking with Grimes like that, so, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But what can you do? Aside from being good at basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. Grimes had a year that he basically, honestly, just shut it down, go to the offseason, recalibrate, because he's had a fucking just a nightmare season for him. Honestly, at the worst time too, right? He's like extension eligible. What a horrible year to have. What horrible timing to have the season he had. John Lee, remember 2013 playoffs against Celtics in game 6? Didn't we have like a 27-point lead cut to 4 or something dumb like that? Yeah, that was very, very stupid. Everything about that series was really stupid, actually, and very annoying, and maybe cost the Knicks in the next round because of that. So that was cool. John Larry also said this. The Ryan Baker contract memos was kind of insane too. It was, but it's like on scales of insane. It's like, what, two? It was a 2-year, $8.9 million contract. So it's like, yeah, it's an overpay. Yeah, it's way too much for Ron Baker. Doesn't, I don't feel very strongly that it cost us anything substantial. But yeah, it was a terrible contract, no doubt about that. The Celtics deal was Bill and Bob Marks. Yes, Billy King. Yep.
Okay.
Here you go. Omar Youssef says, Taj is 35 in the We Here season.
Okay,
let that slide, Tyree.
Bob Thibodeau had 35-year-old Taj Gibson as one of the most effective players in the NBA that season, okay? You're helping my point. Tommy Thibs, baby.
Yeah. Evan Fournier to me is the Knicks version of Trumaine Johnson on the Jets. I despise both. I like that. Trumaine Johnson was terrible. What a fucking awful signing. The Giants, he was a Kenny Galladay. That's what Evan Fournier is for the Giants fans in here. I'm trying to think of like what a Bills signing would be. Not in recent years. Maybe like fucking back in the day, Derek Dockery. The Bills signed this guy, a fucking left guard, to like a huge contract in the mid-2000s. And it was like, why are we paying this guard like a left tackle? Like, what are we doing exactly? Also, we're terrible. Why are we paying for a fucking left guard? That was great times. Good times being a Bills fan all the time. John Larry, why was the media always talking about Evan being a good soldier? Didn't he complain publicly multiple times?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Didn't he say something like, you have hate in your heart for me or something?
Yes. He's like, you have hate, venom. Like, you just want to spit on everybody. Like, come on, dude. Why are we acting like Evan Fournier, which is a good soldier who did nothing but, like, you know, just sit and, you know, root for the team? Like, he was a loser. He was publicly and privately a loser. How do you say loser in French? I don't know. But, like, he was that.
I mean, yeah, he's...
Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pluser. There we go. He was a fucking loser.
Oh, man. The only reason Fournier didn't accept his benching is because France hasn't produced a good guard in the last 20 years.
True.
Killian Hayes, where are you?
Where not even you? Signed by the league, dude. That's so sad. Like, nobody wants him. He's not even going to go to, like, the Hornets or anything. Jesus.
Oh, man. This is John Leary. I remember Begley reporting December of 2022 that executives were contacting Dolan to get Leon's job. Crazy how quickly things change. Also wonder who those execs were. I wonder if Bob Myers is one.
Honestly, I feel like Bob Myers would want the job now.
But so overrated.
Yeah.
Fucking, there's so many Warriors fans that just hate his guts. He's done since he's gotten hired at ESPN is just like, oh, I remember Tyrese Halliburton. He was such a good prospect. He absolutely killed it when we worked him out.
Dude, last week
when I took about James Wiseman.
When he was talking about like Miles McBride, he was like, oh, we would have taken him or like we liked him in the draft process or whatever. And I was just like, come on. You don't have to lie.
We liked him so much that he got picked at 36th.
We could have had him.
Chris Bernard, to be fair, Frank was a deity to half the fan base because he always got screwed over. Shout out Frank. Always good in our hood at the Strickland.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
Please stop hyping up Frank Ntilikina, man.
Nobody's hyping him up. We're just up his great emoji in the Strickland. One of the great emojis.
Even still in the tournament?
Yes. Fucking crushed it. Destroyed Quick in the second
round. Can we stop voting for the Frank emoji, man? Let's be civilized. Let's be decent.
Crushed quickly in the second round.
Oh my, you let him crush quickly?
It's a great emoji. What do you want me to do? I can't deny the greatness of the emoji.
What a sad, sad, sad turn of events. Quickly
done. Why don't you fucking vote in the tournament, scumbag?
Because I work all day.
Oh, right. Takes so long to click an emoji. Get a life, dude.
Sorry.
You're in there. I see you. I see you during the day. In the mornings, your fucking stupid-ass comments that I wake up to.
And then I don't comment again until 12 hours later.
Knicks have the number one defense in March and is 10-1 in March. So they're trying to bump.
For what?
We're 10-1 in merch.
What the hell?
That doesn't seem right. That doesn't make sense.
No, right? No way we're 10-1 in March.
Maybe we're 10-1 against the spread. I don't know. Like that.
We definitely lost to the Hawks.
Yeah, we lost to the Hawks. We lost obviously at Denver.
We lost in the Magic.
No, we didn't lose. No, we smoked the Magic. We lost to the Sixers.
We lost to the Sixers and we lost to the Hawks. And we lost to the Nuggets.
You are fake news, Jordan. Come on. No, I don't know. I do buy the. I think I'm pretty sure that we are the first number one defense, though.
Yeah, we are the number one defense, though.
Yeah. He posted this.
We're special.
Also, Jalen was like, bro, slow down. Dante DiVincenzo talks about feeding off the MSG crowd and them speeding him up as he got hot tonight in his 40-point performance. Yeah, he was definitely just getting his shots off at the end there real fast. Larry Israel says this. The Knicks are 15 games over 500 with second-best net rating in Eastern Conference despite all the injuries. It's pretty impressive. It's very, very impressive, man. They have done phenomenal work. I did want to talk about something unrelated to what comments have been posted here, but you mentioned earlier that you think the Knicks have the best or among the best pro scouting in the league. I actually have a theory that I feel really, really strongly about. I think their biggest market inefficiency that they have over the league is they are phenomenal at self-scouting. And I think they have a really keen understanding of when are optimal times to trade out players and understanding what the margins are for them that they need to improve on year to year. And I think we've seen that very, very consistently over their time in New York.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. They just know their team. And I feel like a lot of front offices don't know their team the way the Knicks know their team. There's just the investment in scouting, the investment in analytics. I know there were like articles released when like they had that NOAA tracker system or whatever. And the fact that they've invested so heavily into like understanding their team just kind of shows. And it's a reason why they're prevalent now, because they know when to pump and they know when to dump.
And obviously it's not to say that they've nailed every move, because that's not possible. And I think it's fair to argue that like they sold low on Grimes, but I also don't think they really had an opportunity to sell high on him. And I know that people will be like, oh, they could have traded him for, you know, Mitchell. And it's like, dude, the trade was not fucking Grimes for Mitchell. Like, that was never the trade. That's the entire fucking problem. And you know, Begley has reported, your favorite beat writer, Tyrese, he reported at that time that the idea that, you know, Grimes was untouchable was bullshit. It was never that Grimes was untouchable. It was that Grimes was untouchable given the other demands that Utah had. It was just not going to happen. So I don't really think they had a chance to trade high on him. And look, I don't know what the hell was happening behind the scenes with Grimes this year. Clearly, it seems like he was really unhappy here. Maybe they could have played that out, maybe whatever. But like the fact that they moved him when they did, and they're not like, you know, a thing that a lot of front offices do, right, is hold on to players for too long, overvaluing their own talent, not being able to cut ties when it makes sense. But the Knicks have done that. And like, you know, look, Quickley was a really awesome player for the Knicks, but they correctly were able to make a decision of like, hey, look, like, are we really going to pay this guy to be our backup point guard? And if not, how can we use him as an asset? And they not only did they use him as an asset, but they used him again to get the player who they clearly had been targeting for an extended period of time. Is like, hey, if we get this guy, he balances the team out. You know what I mean? He brings balance to the force. But like really, that's what they did. And it doesn't like whether the fact that they were right kind of just shows that they're self-scouting, and then how they apply that into like making moves is just really, really on point.
Yeah, I just Man, I just cannot say enough about Leon Rose, because that was a very calculated risk that they made, because they had built up a lot of goodwill and they were making a lot of these moves that kind of would be on the margins between like them wanting to be competitive versus them, you know, embracing the fact that they're still kind of rebuilding. And the fact that they were just willing to go all in on a move like that, and it wasn't popular at the time, but a lot of people panned it. For the Knicks, I think a lot of people were really high on quickly, and they kind of felt that OG was good, but there were concerns about him.
Are we sure he's real?
I mean, he may not be real. That's true.
Can this fucking guy at least just sit on the bench? So I'm like, all right, he's alive. We're good. Okay,
When they come to San Antonio, if he's not on the bench, I will let everybody know.
He's not going to be on the bench. There's no way his ass is fucking traveling to Texas, bro. You kidding me?
What's wrong with Texas, man?
Where do I start? First of all, you live there.
All right.
But hey, you're a big Abbott guy, so that makes sense.
Okay.
John Leary, you think we'll be able to keep iHeart with OG's contract up as well?
Yes. I feel like people are not... I don't think people understand that centers don't get paid in free agency like that.
Unless they're stars, and then they wouldn't hit the market anyway.
Yeah. So I'm not too worried about them being able to retain iHeart. I feel like they will.
I mean, so the main thing is the main two teams that I kind of like, there are three teams that have a shit ton of space that I think would like reasonably potentially be appealing to him because they're actually good. Philly, they're not going to sign Isaiah Hartenstein, right? It's just not going to happen. Because they have Embiid. And even if like they trade Embiid, they're not going to, I would just be really surprised if they trade Embiid at a point in time where they would all of a sudden be able to pivot to signing Isaiah Hartenstein in free agency. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Orlando, I'm fairly confident they're not going to spend a bunch of money on a center. Just, again, does not make sense kind of given all of the resources they have.
Yeah, they need exactly. A point guard.
Yep. And then OKC is the one that I would be worried about, but I think not just that, I just think they're super, like, even if you were like, oh, we'll check and play the four and we want to have him be able to play both spots, like, okay, fine. But they seem really, really committed to the five out identity that they're kind of going with. And for that reason, I don't know. I don't see it. And the last time he paid a center, by the way, you know who it was?
Who?
I'll give you a hint. He was a Knick.
Oh, Joakim Noah.
No.
Wait, fuck. Oh. What? Oh.
Penis cancer.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Ennis Kanter. Yeah. That one worked out really well. 4 years, $72 million for Ennis Kanter. What a contract. Like, I just don't see it. I'd be surprised. I'd be really, really surprised. I think the Knicks can keep him. Pretty sure his full bird rights, the number will be like 4 years. Or using his early bird rights, sorry. I think it'll be like a 4 year, 71, 72, something like that type of contract. I'm pretty sure that'll be enough to keep him. And I think the Knicks will give him that.
Yeah, it'll be like 464. And that's fine. Like you said, it's fine. So I'm not too worried about keeping him. And obviously, you know, they're going to keep OG. Yeah, I think the Knicks are just kind of... I'm not really worried about in the free agents. It's what did they do with like the other contracts when it's not like Boyan or whatever.
Yeah. Larry Israel.
Also, yeah, that too. iHeart's wise isn't going to OKC.
Yeah, we need her in New York. We need to keep her here. And Larry Israel, I think 464 and change is the max. I asked Jeremy about this a little while back. He thinks it's like four low 70s or something. So I'm just going to trust him. Not to doubt you, Larry. Maybe you're right. You know, take it up with Jeremy, though. Make sure you add him on Twitter and harass him there until he responds to everybody here. Jordan Bubb, the top five off-ball guards in LeBron wins over above replacement. One, Derek White. Two, Mike Conley. Three, Drew Holiday. It's hilarious that Drew Holiday is being called an off-ball guard now, by the way. 4, Dante DiVincenzo. 5, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Is this that's evil Bogdan, right? That's the evil Bogdanovic in Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. Dante. Yeah. It's just obvious how good of a signing he's been. And like, honestly, I don't even know if his individual numbers capture it, because he just is so good as a complimentary player next to the guys we have. And it's unfortunate it is unfortunate, obviously, that Randall and OG got hurt, because like that group together was just murdering teams, and they were kind of like unstoppable offensively. They just fit so well together. And his chemistry with Julius, who we know like can generate quality threes for these perimeter guys, but it can be difficult to kind of develop that rapport with them as a player. Reggie Bullock did it. Evan Fournier took him a bunch of time, but he was able to do it successfully and did it well for 1 year offensively anyways. But like Grimes never was able to, you know what I mean? And you know, it's what it is, but he was fantastic, I thought, even before the injuries. Obviously, his play since then has been awesome in a totally different way as well.
I think Dante DiVincenzo can solve racial relations. That's how I feel about him.
Oh, man. John Leary, are you scared of Miami in the playoffs?
No. I'm scared of Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of Miami. He's but then the again, leader. Like, Patty Mills will shoot, like, 70% from three. So, take that as you will.
Yeah. It's just poster to me. I don't look at their roster and I'm like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? But Eric Spoelstra is a master of maximizing whatever the fuck is at his disposal. And until you slay the dragon, you just got to be scared of him, I guess.
Yeah. It was like similar thing with like the Bucks, where they lost to them in the bubble and then they beat him again the next year. It's like, until you actually do it, I think you're always going to be like trepidatious about it.
Yeah. JK, Grimes couldn't shoot threes off movement, dribble handoff nearly as well was the problem. Yeah, and he also just didn't try. He just wasn't doing it. So, whatever. Not our problem anymore. So, Jordan Bob posted this. Josh Hart's continued quote about Monty Williams. What else there to say? We've got a guy that's hot. We're going to try to find the guy that's hot. That's common sense in basketball. Monty Williams. Don't tell Monty Williams about what's common sense in basketball, buddy. All right?
Yeah, Monty Williams is like, they gave me $100 million for a reason.
Oh, by the way, can we talk about one thing? Dude, Jaden Ivey was fucking terrible. Holy shit.
I told you he's a good.
Yeah, but this is like unbelievable watching whatever like that. I'm pretty sure he did not make a single good decision the entire game. That was one of the worst performances I've ever watched. That was wild.
Yeah, he just doesn't do anything good on the court aside from run fast. So I don't know what you're supposed to do with that long term, which is why I was like, if Grimes ever got his shit together, then he would make more sense next to Cade. But I don't think he's a bust, but like he doesn't play defense well, and offensively he doesn't do enough to warrant usage, but without usage he doesn't have any redeemable skills. It's realistically the RJ Barrett conundrum.
He also is just in a spot with like a coaching staff that's probably absolutely terrible at even understanding what.
And they didn't even like him in the first place. Like the way they were playing him and utilizing him early in the season, it was like Monty did not want him on the team.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think he's a guy that they're probably going to end up selling low on, because you have all these draft picks and guys you want to invest in, and you just cannot afford developmental minutes, and they have so much cap space that they're going to bring in vets. So
by the way, can I say how funny it is that like Ime Udoka figured out how to use Amen Thompson properly in like half a season, and Monty Williams was like having Asar Thompson line up as a corner shooter?
Yeah, The Thompson twins are going to be such a study on development, because one of them might really blossom to something, and then the other one is probably just going to stink, and it's just because they're in wildly different contexts.
Asar Thompson is somebody that we should try to rescue at some point in time.
There is no role for him on this team.
Not right
now. Unless you want, like, he would be super Josh Hart. Correct. He would be super Josh Hart, but the problem is Josh Hart is still Josh Hart, so I don't know where he's going to fit in there.
I can fix him, Tyrese.
All right. You know what? If you insist, I'm not going to stop you.
Well, Clyde Fraser says, which former Dante DiVincenzo team could use him the most right now? Warriors, Kings, or Bucks? The Bucks. The Kings? For sure. No, the Bucks.
Honestly, the Warriors could use him. Probably more, because like they just don't have athleticism.
Isn't that the Bucks' biggest problem, though?
No, I mean, the Bucks have like kind of figured it out. I think they realized, oh, hey, we have Giannis and Brook Lopez. Our defense shouldn't be this bad.
I mean, they did also. Didn't they lose to some horrible game last week? I know they beat OKC yesterday, which is a really impressive win, but they just also dropped a game that was like ridiculous. They also almost blew their lead to fucking Brooklyn the other night, too. I don't know. I'm still out on Monty Williams. I'm out on Monty. Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers.
I mean, obviously, you always be out on Doc Rivers. That's not the problem. They had that game against the Kings where, like, they just got destroyed.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, and, like, they lost to the Lakers without LeBron, I think. Where D'Lo, like, fucking gamed them. But I mean, like, D-Lo's they seem
been hooping, though.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, he's not my favorite player, but he hasn't hooped this year.
I mean, he's 62 shooting, which is good for him.
It's good for anybody. Sure. Larry Israel, are more Knicks having career seasons than the Heat? I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I still think Tommy Hawkins is whatever. I think he had a nice start to his career, but
I think he's of a certain complexion, and I think that there's a certain contingent of the media in a certain northeastern major city that likes to hype up these type of players. So
shout out to Boston Celtics, who blew a 30-point lead today, by the way. John Leary, I thought today's update regarding OG and Julius were good, I guess. Nothing concrete, but seems like progress. I think Julius will be back the last 2 weeks of the season. I think with like 5-6 games, that's when they'll bring him back. I think they'll dial up. I think he'll probably start taking contact next week, would be my guess. And then they'll ramp him up for like a week, week and a half, and then bring him back to close the season. OG, who knows? Who knows? Whenever his elbow is right, I don't want to talk about OG anymore. If you want to hear my thoughts on OG and Anunoby, listen to
the pod. Look at Omar's Twitter feed.
Yeah, or that. Oh, but just listen to the pod that me and Stacey dropped this morning, because we talked about this a bunch. Like, I'm very, very perplexed and confused about the entire thing, and I want the proper medical attention and care to be followed, but I also am like, dude, Josh Hart is playing like 50 minutes a game. Can you please give us something? Kind of split the difference between those two opinions, that's where I land. This is crazy. JK, is J9 a bust like Dennis Smith Jr. level? Maybe.
He might be.
Might be.
Honestly, Dennis Smith Jr. seems like a good comp right now.
It's wild.
And Dennis Smith Jr. had to reinvent himself as like a defensive stopper in order to like stick in the league. And he's still just a minimum guy. So
yeah, honestly, I bet you Dennis Smith Jr. could probably get more money if he went to Europe than the plan over here.
Yeah, but it's love of the game. I think he also said he wanted to like play in the NFL at some point. He was like training for the NFL. Like,
all right, I'm out, man. Larry Israel, Jalen Brunson has reached the 65 game criteria. The New York guard is now eligible for all NBA honors. Brunson was eligible starting on July 12th to sign a 4-year, $156.5 million extension. Yeah, he ain't signing that extension.
Yeah, like people legitimately think he's gonna sign $156 million. He's gonna wait for free agency and he's gonna opt out. That deal's gonna be—he's gonna get like $222 million or something. The deal's gonna be nuts.
But he's not supermax eligible, which is nice.
Yeah,
because he signed as a free agent. So he won't get 35% of the cap. They'll probably just do 30. He will get a full max. He will absolutely get a full 4-year max.
Yeah, Larry, you're right. It would be glorious if he signed that extension.
If he decides, you know what, I'm getting all this endorsement money and I'm just going to sign the extension for the team. First of all, that means OG Anunoby cannot sign for fucking $36 million or whatever. I need OG Anunoby playing on fucking $20 million and some FBL Sam parlays. If Jalen Brunson takes pay cuts, everybody's taking pay cuts. I don't care. We're going to be the fucking Patriots.
That would be awesome. Well, the not being the Patriots part. Everybody taking pay cuts part.
We'll be the Patriots without Deflategate and Tom Brady.
That would be great. That would be awesome. And hopefully without Aaron Hernandez also.
Yeah, that's kind of implied. you got it.
Jason Arvalo, Sasser looks way better than Ivy. I agree. Sasser's a good player. He looks like a good player anyway.
He also wasn't getting played by, like, I don't know why they weren't playing Marcus Sasser. Like, he's legitimately was good in his minutes.
He also makes more sense just as a fit next to Cade.
And I think when it was, when they were like drafting Ivy, it was like, why the hell would you, like, two guards that are on ball to that extent don't work and you end up trading one of them. It's been a tale as old as time. So I'm surprised they went for like another high usage on ball guard and then they drafted another on ball guard in the back of the first round last year. I really don't understand what the Pistons are doing, but nobody does, which is why they're in the sentiment they are now.
Yeah, I always thought it was a weird thing when people were like, how could any team take Keegan Murray over Jaden Ivey? And I'm like, look, I thought Ivey was a better prospect, but I also never thought that was a bad pick for the Kings, and clearly it has been a good pick for them. And
also, same thing with like Brandon Miller and Scoot, and I was like, he's 6'8 and shoots. Like, it's pretty simple, not to mention the fact they have LaMelo. Like, what is LaMelo and Scoot going to do? And now you're seeing it now. It's like Anthony Simons is good and Scoot Henderson sucks. And now they have to decide whether or not Scoot Henderson is going to be like an NBA player for them or they're just going to go with Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe. So,
yeah.
Very interesting to see what will happen there. A lot of teams make boneheaded decisions.
For sure. Chris Bernard, weird question, but here it is. Would you do the Markel Fultz package for Ivy if it ever became available? I would. But I also think that, like, the Knicks just are not going to develop him. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, like, if the Knicks are going to acquire a player, they're going to be developed, and they're going to need to fit within the framework of what the Knicks want. Like, what the Knicks are missing right now, aside from, like, bona fide superstar talent, is maybe some more athleticism on the wing. Like, they have OG, but aside from OG, who really can, like, play either of the forward spots, shoot the ball, and realistically be able to, like, hold up against NBA-level defenses. You see it with Bojan, where Bojan will, like, dribble the ball and just dribble it off his dick because, like, he cannot get to his spots anymore because he's 35 fucking years old. So, like, they're just missing athleticism on the wing, and they're missing somebody else to rotate defenses that's in Jalen Brunson. Those are, like, the two things that they need.
Yep. Definitely agree. John Leary, we can close with this.
Yes.
2023-24 yes. Knicks sweep the 2020-2021 Knicks in a playoff series at full health for both teams. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like, it's not even close. First of all, the Knicks could not score. And the Knicks literally had to hold teams under 100 to win games. It's kind of similar to what the Knicks are now. And that's with three of their starters missing and them playing Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks minutes. So you're taking a fully healthy Knicks. They would have the best wing defender in the league. They would have an all-star level point guard. They would still have all-star level Randle. They would have 48 minutes of elite rim protection. They would have elite shooters up and down the floor. Miles McBride is probably, what, their eighth man? And Miles McBride is better than Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock. Like, it wouldn't be close.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would destroy them. I mean, even just like Mitch is better now than he was then, right? Like Hartenstein is way better. As good as Taj and Noel were for us that season, Hartenstein is totally, I mean, he's in a totally different weight class. Precious is better than Taj was probably at that time. He's definitely better than Whoever the fuck, who was that random big we had that year?
Norvell Pell.
Yes, Norvell Pell. Better than Norvell Pell. I think this is, it would be a wash. It'd be ridiculous. OG, I mean, I think we're like, it's like almost, it's crazy. Those guys have been out for so long. It feels like I don't even remember. Like, I'm like, fuck, like, I don't even remember what it looks like anymore. I need to watch highlights of them. Please come back very, very soon. Very soon. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Thanks to everybody that joined us in the chat today. Really appreciate all your support. If you haven't done so already, please hit like, leave us a thumbs up. All your comments are very helpful to us. Subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed. But yeah, again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all the comments and everything. We appreciate it. And without you, none of this would be possible. Thank you to our sponsors, Bet Online and Cut. Tyrese, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Plugging the fact that Evan Fournier will not exist in history books by the time the Knicks come to my city. So great day.
What a day. I have nothing to plug personally, but you know, I'm going to plug again. I did read out that excerpt or that paragraph from Jeff's piece that he dropped today. I definitely recommend reading that. It was really, really well done. And really just kind of highlights how great of a job Leon Rose has done, especially in comparison to a guy like Sean Marks, who's been absolutely atrocious for the Nets ever since they signed KD and Kyrie. So definitely worth checking that out. Aside from that, I got nothing. So everybody have a great rest of your night and enjoy the Knicks day off tomorrow. We'll be back on Wednesday for the post game after we play the Raptors. Also, good to see both RJ and Quick were back with the team today. So they might be actually playing on Wednesday. We'll see. Obviously, those guys have been through a lot. So still wishing them the best and everything. And good to see them back in around the team. Maybe they can get back down the floor too. So we'll see how that goes. But we'll be back on Wednesday and we will see everybody then. Thank you. And good night.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.